It is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin Sheehan. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, be sure to do that. At the Team 980, you see Kevin Sheehan live 10 to 1. You see Craig Hoffman 4 to 7. You might even see some Denton's Office on the YouTube channel as well. So subscribe to that. Joined now in studio by my guy Toby Altizer, co-host of the Bustin' Loose Baseball Podcast. Great pull by Max on the music. You can hear him periodically on 106.7 The Fan on weekends and on Grant and Danny as well. Toby, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, man. Always great to talk Nats baseball. It's been a while since we've had a chance to catch up, so excited to chat.
Yeah, you came in here wearing the swaggy hoodie, too. I wish I had you on stream right now, but I love the Jordan 1s, so this hoodie is pretty silly. I like it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, my uncle got it for me years back. I probably don't wear it enough. It's a pretty cool hoodie.
It is a pretty cool hoodie, but I feel like those vintage pieces, you know, as we transition to fashion radio here on the Team 980, those vintage pieces that you don't wear all the time, like you can't wear that every day, but when you do wear it, turn some heads.
You can notice. I've got everybody I've seen so far has complimented my hoodie. So.
We call it a neck breaker in the business of fashion here. It's fashion 101. So I asked you on here for a couple of different reasons. One, you're a five-tool player, so you can talk about everything, and it makes life a lot easier as a guest who can talk about everything. But I did want to ask about Dylan Cruz. Goes on the 10-day IL. What is the worry about what he is going to be dealing with for the next couple of days? Because it really felt like he was starting to hit his stride at the plate after the first couple of games where he was struggling immensely.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. It's an oblique injury, and you never like to hear that with a baseball player because rotation, being able to swing and everything. And it's been something that's bothered him for a couple of days, and then it kind of grabbed especially bad the other night against the Braves, and now he goes on the 10-day injured list. But you know, I don't know how severe this thing is. This is one of those that you have to be extra careful, and I think especially for a guy like Dylan who has struggled and is a rookie, you don't want to put him in extra danger. So I don't know what the timeline would be. It's on the 10-day injured list, so he could be back as early as 10 days, but it also could be something that lingers a couple of weeks, and you just want to make sure he's 100% healthy. So that'll be interesting to see, but really, if you look at a season in 15-game increments, he's basically played about 45 games. First 15 games were horrendous. The middle 15 there, he made an adjustment. He was hitting around 280, and then the last 15 have kind of been a struggle, but the last two games he's played in, he's homered. So he's, you know, I think it's just ups and downs. I think some people set too high of expectations for him as a rookie. Mm-hmm. I think people were thinking that with how we were talking about James Wood as like an MVP caliber, they're like, oh, well, Dylan Cruz is right there because he was the number two pick. And they're really not similar types of players. Like Jackson Holliday, he reminds me a lot of him in Baltimore, where Holliday to me is going to be a really good player. He's going to help you out, but I don't know that he's MVP caliber. I think that's kind of Dylan Cruz. So I think it's just been kind of up and down, but now the injury I think is going to be interesting to see how long he's going to be out.
What is the replacement for him? Because he's so good on defense. He's playing well, swinging the bat. How do they replace him? Is it more by committee?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Robert Hassel. That's who they called up to make his major league debut yesterday. Now he's probably going to make his major league debut tonight. But if there's a position that they can deal with some injuries at, it's the outfield. They have a bunch of guys. Dalen Lyle's a guy that we were impressed with down in spring training, and he's been shooting up the system. He could potentially make his debut at some point this season as well. But Robert Hassel, another part of the Juan Soto deal, he's kind of just solid at everything. He's not going to wow you with anything, but he's good at everything. So I think he's going to fill in just fine. They needed a center fielder because Jacob Young has not been in the lineup since he ran into the wall in Baltimore. So Robert Hassel, I don't think, is a huge fall off defensively. He's not going to give you the same power that Dylan Cruz can give you, but he can give you a solid bat as well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the Nats are they're playing hot as ever right now. Four games in a row, right? Obviously, last night was rained out. But what are the expectations moving forward? Because now it feels like you're at a – I don't know how you feel. I don't really pay attention to standings until Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's like a good time to look at it for the first time. But it feels like they're playing really good baseball, given expectations.
So I think here's the issue that they ran themselves into. If they would have had the same messaging that they've had the last couple of years, talking about Mike Rizzo, talking about Davey Martinez, where they were saying, look, maybe the wins and losses aren't there. They never necessarily said exactly that, but they were like, focus on the young guys. Watch how they do, and that'll kind of determine a successful season. And, you know, they're going to talk about wins and losses, but we kind of understood where they're talking. This spring training, this early season, they're talking about, we're trying to win. We're looking above 500. So in terms of that, expectations, obviously been disappointing. But I think when you look at the young guys, how well they've done, James Wood has been spectacular. C.J. Abrams has been statistically the best offensive shortstop in all of baseball. Mackenzie Gore leads the league in strikeouts. Like, there's been some encouraging things. The bullpen just so bad.
I was going to ask about them because, like, you see Mackenzie Gore, and he's been really well. He's been really good this year, right? Now, the record's not great. He's sitting at 2-4, but when you watch him pitch, you're like, all right, yep, this is the guy that we hoped he was going to be. And then when he turns the ball over, you're like, oh, God.
It's so true. Yeah, the bullpen just, I like where they're at now because mm-hmm. they're depending on a lot of young guys who I can give a leash to. When Lucas Sims, who has had a decent big league career, but when he's struggling and you're continually handing him the ball with an ERA, I was telling Danny, we were watching the game sitting a couple of weeks ago, and you know when they have guys warming in the pen, they throw up on their banner who's warming up. And you know you have Lucas Sims warm up with a 8 ERA, and you had Jackson Rutledge warm up with a 2 ERA, and you're like, oh, okay, they'll go with Rutledge for the bigger spot here. No, they're going to go with Sims because he's the vet. Sims. So I think, you know, now that you've got past that where Poche's gone, Sims is gone, and Cole Henry's getting bigger work, and he's mm-hmm. a young guy. Jackson Rutledge is getting more work. Even Ferrer has struggled, but he's getting more big-time work. He's a young guy. I can give them a leash. I can't give a leash to a guy that's just not good, that's a vet, and you continually trot him out there in big spots.
Right. Because at that point, it feels like you are just repeating the same mistake.
Exactly right.
With no awareness of the mistake happening.
Yeah, and I think Jorge Lopez is one of those vets, kind of one of the last ones in there aside from Kyle Finnegan. And he's starting to turn a corner and get back to the Jorge Lopez that's been a solid reliever throughout his career. But for the most part, it's a lot of young guys. And so I think there's going to have to be some patience. I don't know that it's ever going to be a good pen. There are going to be stretches where they look fine for a week, and then the next mm-hmm. week they blow up again. So I think it's just going to be a roller coaster with them. If the pen pitches well, I think this can actually be a team that approaches, you know, a 75-76 win mark. But in terms of where the expectations are now, I think they're kind of in the same spot they've been the last 2 years.
Do you think C.J. Abrams might be getting skipped over nationally? Because you said he's been one of the best offensive shortstops in the game to this point in the season. It feels like that's not talked about a ton. Do you think that's because of the record or because his name isn't as big as some of the other shortstops across Major League Baseball?
His name is not as big because when you think about Bobby Witt, you think about Gunnar Henderson, those guys right. get the recognition, but I think it has to do with the record. You know, honestly, if this team were better, he would be the driving force. I mean, he's hitting above 300. He was an all-star last year, so I think he's getting a little bit more. Right now, if you had to choose who's going to represent the team in Atlanta for the all-star game, I think you'd have two. I think you'd have James Wood, and I think you'd have C.J. Abrams. So I mm-hmm. think it's still growing, but he also needs to improve defensively, and he hasn't had quite the C.J. moments yet. Like, he's been spectacular. But the CJ moments where he's pimping a home run and
right. you know, the backflip, swag.
Yeah, the swag. CJ, yeah. We haven't had quite that moment yet this season, but I think if he continues doing what he's doing, he's going to get recognized.
I feel like
more.
That's such an important part when it comes to taking your name of like CJ Abrams, who we around here know that he's good, but taking it to that level of a Bobby Witt, Gunnar Henderson, or whoever. If your team's not good, you have to give people a reason to watch you. I've always loved the swag element of it. Like that's why I love Tatis. I fell in love with Bryce Harper for that same reason. So I'm with you. I'd love to see more of that from Abrams.
Yeah, and he has it. It's just he hasn't had that opportunity yet, right? Like he definitely has that part of his game. So I think you just get him in a good spot, you know, eighth inning, tie ball game, he hits a home run, you'll get that. They just haven't had that opportunity yet.
Toby Altizer sitting in with me here. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin on this Thursday. You're going to get Linnell tomorrow. Chris Russell is going to take over in about 12 minutes here. But before we do that, I do want to pivot to the Tush Push. Tush Push, we thought was going to get banned. Everyone that we trusted said was going to get banned. It does not get banned. Your reaction to that was what?
I hate it. I don't understand why it's still a football play. I don't understand why it's still in the game. And for people that think it's just about the Philadelphia Eagles, sure, it is a large part of it is. I don't like assisting ball carriers at any point in the football field.
Right.
Because to me, the tush push obviously is the big one that gains a lot of notoriety, and understandably so. But to me, the issue is when you have that pile that's at the 40-yard line and you're pushing and everybody's like, oh, look at the running back still pushing forward for 6 yards. It ain't the running back. It ain't the running back. And my thing is, how do you police it? Where if I'm a defender and I'm not in the pile and I come in and pile drive through the pile, I get a 15-yard penalty for unnecessary roughness.
Right.
But I'm trying to push the pile backwards and you're still letting... I think that needs to be gotten rid of. And I think they're pretty close because that seems like what the Packers changed their proposal to be was more don't allow any assistance to ball carrier. They just needed two more votes, but I'm disappointed that it's not gone.
So you and I are in the same house but different rooms on this because I don't love the tush push, but what I don't like about it is that they police it so heavily for defense but not for offense. Like I cannot stand how every single time half of Philadelphia's offensive line is offsides. And they're just like, well, I mean, that's just how it is. Like, you're watching all of these dudes. And, like, if you're going to make the play illegal, like, you have to give then leeway to the defense to also do things that are traditionally illegal. We've seen that with Daron Payne when he stuck his hand under the football on one of the plays where Jason Kelce was snapping 2 years ago. And then Kelce gets on his podcast, complains about it, and the NFL's like, you can't do that anymore. That's my stance is, if you're going to allow the play to happen, you got to make it fair for both sides to actually stop the damn thing, rather than just, oh, it's a guaranteed first down for Philadelphia. Or in some instances, it's a guaranteed touchdown for Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have the play and you're going to leave it, call neutral zone infractions on the offense, which never happens. You can't let Jason Kelce have his helmet a yard in front of the football where he's snapping it. Enforce the rules how they're supposed to be enforced. I get that it's a different style of play and it's not going to look traditional and they're going to tighten their splits and they're going to get closer. I get all those things, but let's enforce the neutral zone like we do on every other football play. And then I think maybe you're a little more even, because right now it's not an even play.
Right.
And it needs to be. It's just, frankly, I understand the Eagles are better at it than everyone else. Anyone else can do it. I get all those arguments. And if you're a Philadelphia fan, whatever. I don't care. At some point, it needs to be a football play, and it's not right now because they're able to do stuff that, frankly, shouldn't be allowed.
I mean, if you're a Philadelphia fan and you're listening to the show, you probably suck anyway. I mean, we appreciate you listening, but personality-wise, you're probably not up there. There are actually a lot of Eagles fans in this office, which is infuriating. We have a cluster of stations here, and there's a lot of Eagles fans here.
There is an office with an Eagles flag.
Every time I walk out of this building, I have to look at it. Yeah, and the night they beat us, I stared at it for a minute and was like,
you're like, should I light this on fire?
I thought about it.
Should I go full-blown P. Diddy and just light this whole thing on fire? I got a Molotov cocktail. Apparently there's some salespeople like the Eagles, too, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like,
yeah, you know, disappointing. Who you're
selling? It's very disappointing.
Disappointing.
Final question for you before I let you get out of here. This is a question that we asked in our second hour. Olympics coming up, 2028. Do you want to see Jaden Daniels in the Olympics?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
No matter what?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's flag football. Like, I think sometimes we get in this idea, like, people get so worried about injuries. Understandably so. You don't want to have something happen that ends up costing him a season. You don't want that. At the same point, can Jaden not go work out? Can he not go run on the track somewhere? Can he not go lift weights? Can he not go throw routes? Like, he's doing the exact same stuff. It's amped up a little bit, obviously. Right. And it's also right before training camp. So it's not as if he's not going to be getting... It's not middle of the offseason. It's like, hey, man, you should be chilling. He's going to be ramping up anyways. Even if he's not playing in L.A. in the Olympics, flag football, he's going to be ramping up regardless. So I would love to see him there.
My thought was, I would love to see him there if the team has won a championship by then, because I want him to become the first quarterback to win a Super Bowl and an Olympic gold medal.
That would be sick.
I would, like, I'm selfish, but if you follow the trajectory that the team is currently on, it feels like by 2028, it would be feasible to think that they could have played in one and then potentially won a Super Bowl. And at that point, go get him, killer. Go win a gold medal and go win a Super Bowl. He is Toby Altizer. Toby, appreciate the time as always, my friend. It's good to see you.
Always good to chat, man.
That is Toby Altizer. You can hear him on the Bust and Lose Baseball podcast. He and Grant Paulson. And he's just periodically around on Grant and Danny on the weekends on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 as well. So you hear Toby in a lot of different places. Before we hand the microphone over to one Chris Russell, Kevin is going to be out next week. I am filling in majority of the week for Kevin. Max, I have not told you this, but I think you are going to enjoy this in some capacity.
Uh-oh.
I have started a new personal venture.
Tell me more.
I bought a stand-up paddleboard.
Oh, boy.
See, out of left field, not a lot of people anticipated it, but no. I figured on Wednesday I turned 30. 30 is a bit of a bigger birthday. I don't normally get myself birthday presents.
But this is a big one.
But this is a big one, so I was like, I have, like, you know, adult money. Now, as I turn 30, which most 30-year-olds do, I was like, let me get a stand-up paddleboard. I love paddleboarding. There are a lot of places around here within, you know, 50-ish miles or so to get on a paddleboard. I would heavily emphasize the 50-ish miles portion of that because
the
Potomac is gross. It's not a fun place. If I was paddleboarding on the Potomac, which I eventually will in some capacity, I will not be falling in because I don't want to fall in. I like superheroes. I've always wanted to be bitten by a radioactive spider. What I do not want is to fall in the Potomac and then come out with a third eye on my back. Don't need that one. That water's gross. But I'm excited about this new 30-year-old Denton that is now going to be a paddleboard phenom known across the DMV region.
I'm looking forward to seeing this. We're going to have to get you out to Great Falls, too, when the rapids are going. Get you going down.
Yeah, quick. Maybe next year. I need calm waters first. But
of course.
Maybe I'll be a paddleboard content creator. What does that space look like?
I think it's
called a SUP, by the way. A stand-up paddleboard. A SUP.
I think it's an untapped market.
I think it is an untapped market. So be on the lookout. Denton's office on the Team 980's YouTube page, and maybe Denton's office from a paddleboard on the Team 980's YouTube page. That's a bit. I'll just start doing Denton's office by holding my cell phone up and filming me as I am paddling in like places in Ashburn and in Occoquan, Virginia, if that's a real place. I think it is.
Hold on. Say it again.
Occoquan? Occoquan?
Nope.
Aquaquan?
Hey, closer.
Oh, there we go.
Occoquan, yes.
That was my fourth guess. Just take my word on that. All right, that is it for me. Chris Russell is coming up next. Big thanks to Alex Drove, Toby Altizer, and Brian DiArdo. Hit me up on Twitter if you're not following me already. Subscribe to the Team 980's YouTube page. The Rooster coming up next.